after learning the very painful description of the days and moments leading up to death as an example of it, of using the Koyach HaTzir, Koyach HaMachshava in an expansive and deeper way in order to strengthen a person's Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chet. So the Rebbe concluded that section by reminding us of that, of course, his intention in writing this or thinking these things is not chas v'shalom to bring the sadness to atzus, but in order to crush the Yetzirah, in order to overcome the Yetzirah that causes us to lose track and to forget the Seif Kol HaAdam, where everything leads, and to stay focused on the Tachlis. And he ends the Perek now on page Tzadik Tes. Bechlal Sarach Yish Ladas. A person has to know Shein Seich of Lahigayin and Oshi Ba'ilon B'salu Chaysav Nimtza. He says that a person has to know that our way of understanding things, the seichel and the logic of human beings, cannot possibly fathom or understand the ways of this world, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the matzah as taluchei sa'olam v'sa'ish. As nirish lo b'shosh hu samach tzorach hu l'smach v'lo b'shosh hu m'saseh tzorach lias otzef. And he said, and if we take a look at the way of the world and how a person lives, we'll see that really shalei b'shashu sameach tzarchu l'smach. You just look at the way things are going in the world, and you would realize that when the person is sameach, when a person is happy about something, in most situations, that's not really why he should be happy. He shouldn't really be happy then. And the thing that makes him sad, he shouldn't be sad about. The world doesn't make sense, according to human logic, because really, if you think about it, what makes a person happy, he shouldn't be happy really about that. And what makes him sad, that shouldn't make him sad. What he wants so desperately, what he thinks will make him happy, he shouldn't want. And what makes him sick, what he doesn't want, shouldn't make him sick. He shouldn't be maized. We don't have the das, the understanding. We don't have the das to understand that which we think we understand. We don't even have the das to ask kashas. As we ask kashas, we don't understand something. It's like I remember once by Soloveitchik when there was a young man, there was a bacher in the shi who made the mistake of saying something to the effect of this Rashi doesn't make sense, and I thought that that boy was going to be mamish, that he'd have to be taken away, you know, to protect his life from Rabbi Yosef Beer at that time when he said that Rashi doesn't make sense. And the look in Soloveitchik's eyes when he looked at this. Normally he ignored any questions, with the exception of two or three people, didn't even respond. But when the Bacha said, this Rashi doesn't make sense, I remember that Rav Soloveitchik just shook his head and couldn't believe it. I don't know, you know, what's happened to our people. That there's some little Bacha who can't even spell Rashi probably, or read Rashi, and he says Rashi doesn't make sense. And What the Rebbe is saying here is that we don't understand enough about things to even say that it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't fit into my way of understanding. It doesn't make sense is if I understand, I have a certain level of understanding, the world has to meet my understanding, and I'm capable of understanding anything if it's explained properly. So he says, Avdas ein lanu shen davin b'yis hashed doim lanu shen mevin. So what we think we understand, we don't have the das to understand. Achen akshel adav ashel novin also. So we have all kinds of kashas on that which we don't understand. Because we think we do understand things, we don't understand that either. And because we think that we have such das and we understand things, so in Mela we're asking kashas because we think, oh well, there are a few things left in life that I don't understand. So I have kashas. It doesn't make sense to me, Rashi. Because everything else makes sense to me except this Rashi. While derech haremes oimer apostik ish bar leidech siv uchsil yovenezais. So David HaMelech said, ish bar leidech siv yovenezais, that the empty and foolish person doesn't understand. He says, what makes a person a fool? The fool thinks that he has the ability to understand everything. The fool thinks that he has enough das leidech olahavin, that if something is explained to him, if the burden of proof lies on the world to explain to him certain things, because he has enough das to understand things. It's just that it hasn't been explained properly. My wife told me that in her class the other day, 12th grade class, there was a girl who rolled her eyes and she heard something from, my wife was saying something from Chazal, and she made a comment that the rabbis are so shallow. She said about Chazal, that's so shallow. Hello. The rabbis are so shallow. Well, I said, she just, what to say. Like while she's like, you know, looking at her nails and dreaming of her little boyfriend, they are so shallow. Chazal. This is a new one for the Weinberger family. We're trying to think of a mahalach of like how to talk to the girl. What do you do? But there's no movie about Chazal yet, Baruch Hashem. So we're not quite sure what to do, how to communicate the depth of Chazal to her. Because if it would be a movie or a song, then she would say, it's so deep. But in Chazal, from what she's seen, it's shallow. Hashem Yerachem. Hashem Yerachem. Ish bar lo yeda, chsil lo yoven is ois. Sister Rebbe is saying, where do you begin? Did you think that you understand, a breath of Chazal, a word of Chazal, to say that to make a judgment, you don't understand how you don't know, but that you think you know. The bar and the ksil thinks that they have the das to understand, and like this young lady, unfortunately, she's just not. She understands everything on a very deep level, and she's not impressed by what she's seeing from Chazal. Doesn't impress her, because what she's seen so far, heard in her through all the years of her investigations and so on, have led her to the conclusion that they just don't get it. So that's what it means. Ish bar leyedoch sil liyoven ezeis lachein, and because of that, the Rebbe says, that which they don't understand, they ask all kinds of questions, and it's very strange to them. They think there's something wrong with it. In other words, there's nothing lacking in my understanding and my ability to understand. There's something lacking in what you're saying. And they have kashas. Hello, keneged haseichel. Hello, keneged. So they claim that what you're saying is irrational. What you're saying goes against the seichel, meaning their seichel. Upayarim es pihem lahakshesh shizel neged haseichel. They open their mouths to ask questions, and they're claiming that what you're saying is neged haseichel. It's against the seichel, meaning against their seichel. Aval misha eino bar veloksil, but a person who's not a fool and who's not arrogant. Yudeya she'ein seichel v'higoyin ha'enoishi bechlal seichel v'higoyin betuach lomayd bay im zo api seichel v'higoyin v'zashila api seichel v'higoyin. A person who is not arrogant and who is not the fool knows that human intelligence and human logic is not secure enough and not in any way sure enough or strong enough to be used to measure whether anything makes sense or anything is logical. He called Dover Aina together Seichel and Oshi. Mak Achasi. Hashem is Baruch Hu Hanimsa Yechidi, Ritzoni Yechidi, Vigam Daiti is Baruch Yochid Hu. There's only one thing. He said, all there is the Rebbeinu Shlomo and his Ratzon. Everything, that's all there is, Yochid Hu. Es Asher Yirtza Hashem V'yachek Ba'olam, what Hashem wants. And he rules and he engraves in the world and he creates in the world. That the person has to understand. What Hashem wants, a person must understand. That's what Hashem does not want, and he does not, and the halacha is opposed to. Hashem is against. It's not a law. It's not a rule. And he hasn't established. Maven he is shalai tofu. We have to understand that means shalai tofu. It's not, then it's not good. Kshirotza v'chokach Hashem, shetesabev Hashem ish v'mizrach l'mayrav. Our whole way of understanding can only be from what Hashem did. And there's only Hashem. So he says, kshirotza v'chokach Hashem. When Hashem wanted, and he established in the world. Shetesabev Hashem ish v'mizrach l'mayrav. If the sun rises and sets east to west, kulam yoidim mevinim b'sechlam shekain tzarech lios. It's only Hashem's das that only it's only Hashem's das that can create b'chlal a framework in which a human being can have understanding. So since the Creator established that the way things are supposed to be is that the sun rises in one spot and it sets in the other spot, so now the whole world can say. That makes sense. That's logical. Who made that logical? Who created that mahalach of the world that we should see the sun in one place and then at night in the other place? Who made such a mahalach in the world? Only the Baruch Shalom. He established that seichel, that reality. So because Hashem was chokek that in the creation, because Hashem is Baruch engraved that and he ruled that would be how the world would run, so now the whole world can say this makes sense. That's all. Now the world can say it makes sense, so that if the sun pops up in another place one day, so then everybody can turn around and say that doesn't make any sense. That's illogical. It's irrational, right? V'ilurotza Hashem says kolim v'nim v'sichum shekain tzarech l'shel v'shelot v'sav negev v'seich. And therefore, everybody could say, well, if it doesn't go that way, so every philosopher, scientist, and everybody in the world could say, well, if something would be different, that's called illogical. If anybody would say that, that's illogical. But all this is only because that's what Hashem determined. And if Hashem wanted, and he would establish that it should not, that the sun should not function in such a way, the earth should not function in such a way. I should disabe v'mizrach l'mar, we'll go in the opposite direction. Then human logic would be different. Then human logic would dictate, then it would be a different logic. Then man's logic would say, oh, it's not supposed to do that, it's supposed to do something else. So the so-called logic that human beings have was itself created in accordance to the will of Hashem, as Hashem fixed into the world certain mitzvahs, and Hashem made those realities so that now everybody in the world can say, well, that's logical. And anything that's not the way that the human being thinks it should be is illogical. But logic itself and reason itself and reality itself is only the Ratzon Hashem. Page Kuf. Af HaRatzon Hachi Chazak. Even the strongest will, Asher Sam Hashem Achol Balei Chaim Lichyais, that Hashem has placed in all creatures, that there's this powerful will that everything in the world wants to live. Shenir Lanu Kol Kach Pashal Lefi HaSeichel, which makes complete sense to us. That every animal, every insect, everything in the world, in all of its motions and movements and everything that it does, is showing the will to live. Everything wants to live. So that makes sense. He says that Shenirlon Kol Kach Pashut Lefi HaSeichel. Gam Kein Lo B'Seichel Yesaydei. The Yesaydei of this is also not in Seichel. Ki Loma Yireim Hei Min HaSakana HaKreiva Af HaRechayke Mehem. Why are all animals, all creatures, why are they so afraid of anything that's dangerous? Why are they so afraid of any sakana kriva, rechaika? Why is it that they run in fear from anything that frightens them? The maicham v'sichlam af bal yedo ki sakanehi. They don't have in their mind an understanding of what the danger is. Av bal chaya tarif ahadaris aysam leakir miyamim. And they don't recognize or know or understand that other animal that is seeking to destroy them. They don't necessarily even know of that animal from before something that comes. Gam al the same le sipur lahem. It's not like when you have this baby little animal, it's not like his father or his Zaydi sat him down and said, listen, you better watch out for this and for that, and showed him some albums and discussed with him the different species that are friends, and this one's not good, this one's good, stay away from here, don't go there, this is a bad neighbor, this is a good neighborhood. Nobody told the behemoth that. HaKol Chayk MeHashem. It's all a chayk, it's all a law that Hashem established in the world. And this chayk that we can't understand, the animal doesn't understand. That Hashem is Baruch made. That every animal intuitively and instinctively wants to live and can sense danger and runs away from it. So in our minds we say, that makes sense. That's logical to us. That everything should want to live. Because we want to live. But this logic and this understanding, this reason, is only because Hashem is Baruch established that in the world. That which Hashem has established, the person loves. He wants. Uvo yismach v'sashel lo yichaykeik, and he rejoices with that. V'sashel lo yichaykeik, and that which Hashem has not established, and Hashem hasn't made. Yimasim many yotzif. He's disgusted with it, and it causes him to be sad. Kishen noiladnu lo midaateinu, rak bal karcheinu bonu lezahaylan. When we were born, it wasn't with any intelligence, or awareness, or logic, or understanding. We were forced into the world. B'tzayin u'gzeiras Hashem, because of the will and the gzeira of Hashem. U'la'acha arichus shnaiseinu b'tzayin u'gzeiras neilach. And after, hopefully, long years, then Hashem, with His will and His gzeira, will decree for each and every one of us to leave the world. Gam olam hazeh shaloi. It's not only coming into the world and leaving the world that is His ratzon, that's His will. But gam olam hazeh shaloi, this world is also His will. Gam olam hazeh shaloi, all worlds above and below, are only His. V'tamid u'b'chal aylam sh'nimatze, and always, in whatever world we are, b'shus ha'izbarach, we're in His v'shus, in His domain. It's His world. V'tachas k'nafav niya, and we're beneath His wings. We're together with Him. V'kevan sh'ritzeneinu, and because ritzeneinu makshavaseinu simchaseinu v'chol netiyaseinu, and because our ritzeinus, our desires, our thoughts, what is it that makes sense to make a person happy? And all of the netiyas of a person, me'eis Hashem heima, all of that is from Hashem. Lachain, therefore, rak misha bedarche Hashem meterasa haylech. Therefore, only a person who conducts his life according to Hashem's will and follows his Torah, amiti yaseh, then he can be certain that all of his ritzainus, all of his machshavas, all of the things that cause him to rejoice, and all the things that cause him to be sad, and all of his netiyas are true. Only a person who is completely attached to the will of Hashem, since Hashem's will is what determines reality, only a person who is, and Hashem revealed to Klal Yisrael, the world doesn't know. And it goes by instinct, just like the animals follow their instincts. But the Baruch Shalom gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and He revealed to us the truth. And therefore, only a person whose ritzainus, whose desires, whose machshavas, thoughts, simchas, and all of his netiyas are according to the Torah, can know for certain that amiti is saying, that they're absolutely true. V'ha'isha misrachik mimenu v'terasa chas v'shalom, but the person who has gone away from Hashem and from His Torah chas v'shalom, oz then ritzayne, his desire, his will, machshavtei, his thought, simchasei, is what causes him to be happy, v'kol netiyasav, and all of his netiyas, all of his inclinations of what he feels, what's right and what's wrong, what makes sense to him, meduyasein, it's all fiction, and sheker, it's all false, avdoin, avodoin, umoves, rachmal, epsilon, it's all nothingness, emptiness, death, sichem anulus merch b'ashem u'b'terosai. We have to rejoice in Hashem and His Torah, for all the years of our lives. Because that is what Hashem has engraved in each and every Jew. That's the Ratzon Hashem. The same way that Hashem is engraved in the animal, the intuitive fear of danger, and that the animal doesn't understand, but the animal feels intuitively that it has to run from danger and run to life, because that's what Hashem was chaykek in the animal. In a Jew, in Klal Yisrael, Hashem was chaykek his ratzon and his Torah, and therefore a person, only a person who lifts himself up and attaches himself to the Ratzon Hashem will be able to live in accordance to that teva that Hashem is chaykek in creation. And that's what the Navi is saying in Yeshaya, Yod Asher Kaneyu V'chamar Evuz Balav Ami Loyada Yisola Yisboinan, where Hashem is comparing Klal Yisrael to an animal, that the animal knows its owner and it knows what gives him food, but how come my people don't know? Because the point here is not, it's not a matter of what we consider to be logical or rational. The same way that the animal's instincts are determined by living in accordance to the will of Hashem, as Hashem Yisbarach has established in that animal, so too, what makes sense and what is logical has nothing to do with how it appeals to a person, or what the person thinks, or to take some sort of a poll of what is right and what is wrong. There's a reality that Hashem is chaykek in Klal Yisrael. And just like there's a certain law of nature and creation that the sun rises here and sets there, and that when something is hot, it burns, and when something is cold, it freezes, and so on. Because that's not because it makes sense, but because that's the chayk, that Hashem is chaykik in the Bria. So there's another chayk in the Bria, and that's Klal Yisrael. And that chayk is Taras Hashem, and the Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, it's not what you think and what makes sense to you. Anything that is not in accordance to Hashem's will is illogical, is irrational as far as you're concerned. And anything that makes you happy that is not the Ratzon Hashem is irrational and illogical. As far as the Jew is concerned, it makes no sense at all. Because the chayk, that Hashem is chaykik in a Jew, is that there are certain specific things that are to cause him to be happy. So when it says Man Simchaseinu, in a healthy Jew, that time, that Eis Ratzon of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres is a time for unbelievable happiness. When a person is sitting and learning, that's a time for unbelievable happiness. When a person is zeichet to do a mitzvah, when a person is zeichet to daven, that's a time of unbelievable happiness. So a person says, that doesn't make sense to me. I can understand if you tell me that, you know, eating a hot dog at a Yankee game is a time of happiness. I can understand. But I don't understand. You tell me running around in circles inside in a shul with some old book or some old scroll, well, that's supposed to make me happy. So what makes a person happy, what makes a person sad, has nothing to do with what a person thinks. That's a terrible mistake. It's only a matter of a person drawing closer to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And the more a person is miskarev to Hashem, the more he lives in accordance to the Ratzon Hashem, so then every single emotion that he feels is true. So he feels happy. He feels happy when Hashem's Ratzon is being kept, and Hashem's Ratzon is being revealed. So he naturally, intuitively, just like the animal, feels the fear of danger and the need for life. So the animal, so that even though the animal doesn't understand that logically, so the Rebbe says there is no logic, Chlal. So too, when a Jew is living in the Dach Hashem and the way of the Torah, so more and more and more, it becomes natural to him to rejoice over those things that truly should cause him to rejoice, and to be sad over those things that should cause him to be sad. So the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Galus HaShechina and Shechinta Begalusa, the Galus HaShechina, is something which Hashem has established in us should naturally cause us to be sad. But if that doesn't make you sad, the Shechina and Galus and the Churban of Yerushalayim and so on, those things don't make you sad. But what makes you sad is that, you know, your favorite challah in the bakery was bought by somebody else or something like that makes you sad. Or other things, you know, make you sad. So then, that's irrational. That's illogical for a Jew. That should make you sad. It's a mistake. It makes you sad, the same way that you would tell your child. And you see that something silly is making your kid sad. You would say that's nothing to be sad about. That's silly. There's nothing to be sad about. It's all the chayk that Hashem is chaykek. It's all what Hashem is baruch fixed and established in the world. That which gives life makes the animal happy. That which threatens life makes the animal, so to speak, sad or frightened. That's the mitzias that Hashem has created in the world. And Hashem created the mitzias. That which is the Ratzon Hashem makes a Jew happy. That which is opposed to the Ratzon Hashem makes a Jew sad. So then how come you don't feel happy, simple star, and how come you don't feel sad on Tisha B'Av? because you're not attached to the will of Hashem. And therefore, your life is being led in an illogical, irrational way. Where there are things that should not make you happy, and they make you happy. And there are things that should not make you sad, and they make you sad. And that's the outcome of distance from Hashem and of Golas. Therefore, that's what the Rebbe is saying over here in this paragraph. So again, he says, let's read the paragraph again. The Kevin Shavit said, "Nei nimash v'sen esem chasenu kani esen meis Hashem heima." Lachin rak mi shabedach Hashem eteroso halach. Since what determines what is happy, what is sad, what is good, and what's bad, and so on, all of that is the Ratzon Hashem. It's all from Hashem. Therefore, as far as a Jew is concerned, only who goes in the dach Hashem eteroso halach amiti esem, then he can trust that his simcha is legitimate simcha. That he's rejoicing, he's happy over what he should be happy. And he's sad over what he should be sad. He's excited about something which should get him excited. But there's something else that should not get him excited. He has to be careful. The rest of the world gets excited by that. But for a yid, that's something that should not make you excited. It should cause you to feel, perhaps, disgust and revulsion. For somebody else in the world, that would cause that person to feel excited. But for you, if you feel excited over that thing that the guy feels excited about, that's sheker. That's a lie. And the more that a person is miskarev to Hashem Yisbarach, the closer that one gets to the Rebbeinu Shalom, those things that are supposed to cause joy, and those things that are supposed to cause sadness. And he can trust more and more his emotions. And he's able to trust more and more that what he feels makes sense. Otherwise, how are you supposed to trust that your emotions make sense when what is sensible and logical has nothing to do with you, but only the Ratzon Hashem that he established in the world? That's how Hashem Yisbarach made us. That's why you taste of that when you force yourself to do something that Hashem Yisbarach wants. You have a little bit of a taste of that usually. That Hashem Yisbarach has chosen us to be His children and His servants. And He made His Kaddish with His mitzvahs and His Torah. Shekol avodaseinu b'simcha tia. That there's nothing in the world that should cause a Jew to have more simcha, more joy than avodas Hashem. That's what makes sense. Uma simchaseinu. What is the simcha of a Jew? Uma simchaseinu. And what is the simcha b'chlal of a Jew in the world and of the Jewish people in the world? What's the simcha of the Jewish people in the world? It says b'feirush in Navi, "Sois osis b'Hashem." I will rejoice in Hashem. Togel nafshi b'lokai. Sogel nafshi b'lokai. My soul rejoices in my God. Bayis baruch, but there also simchaseinu usaseinu. In Hashem and His Torah, and only in Hashem and His Torah, is my simcha and my joy. Therefore, should you rejoice, Hashem is Baruch created an institution that's called marriage. He wants people to get married. Should you rejoice in that marriage that you have entered into, if it's in accordance to Hashem's will, if you're marrying for the right reason and the right person? And that's, then it's part of your avodas Hashem. It's part of the simcha Hashem. Even going to the chasna. A person now, he says, we should only go to simchas, right? So he says, I'll see you at the simcha. Where is this? Where are you going tonight? I'm going to this and this hall. I'll meet you later on at the simcha. Even the way that we use the word the simcha, it should only be simchas. If you're there at the simcha, you're not that we should think these things, but as we're learning this, to stop for a moment and ask yourself, this simcha that I'm at right now, Is this Simchas Hashem, or is it just what makes sense to me as something of a numbskull? Does this make sense to me that this is a Simcha? is this a Simchas Hashem? Even the way that the Simcha is being celebrated, is this a Simchas Hashem? Is this the way that Hashem wanted the Simcha to be conducted? So even the way that we use the word Simcha, and we say, oh, Simchas, 100% of Simchas, right? What is the Simchas Hashem at the Simcha? So let's say these two people are getting married for no other reason than money, God forbid. It's such a strange thing to get married for something like that, but there is such a mitzvah. So getting married because it looks good. She looks good, her bank account looks good, and so on. The father's bank account looks good, everything looks good. So it's a zivug yafa, right? So is that a simcha? Is that b'emes a simcha? None of you have ever been invited to a simcha you wanted to take kriyat? Hashem Yerachem? I've been invited to such simchas. Where I was at a simcha, I'm not told, that's never by a bris, right? A bris, oh Hashem. But there are simchas that I've been invited to where I wanted to take kriya. Telling you the truth. Because you stand there and you're watching the beginning of a tragedy that's going to start unfolding within a few, it already was going on with fights and screaming and yelling during the engagement, and it's going to continue to unfold after Shabbat Brachos. So, is that a simcha? Officially, because they're paying $100,000 for the thing to take place in that building. So it's officially called the Simcha. Anything that has an invitation printed up is called the Simcha. Nobody sends invitations for levayas. So if it has an invitation, it means it's a Simcha. Is it truly a Simcha? No. And it sounds terrible to say that, but what we have to realize is that only Sais Asas Basham, Togel Nachshi Velokai. The only Simcha is the Simcha of Hashem. If you're invited to what's called the Simcha and the woman is not going to be keeping Taharas Mishpacha, is that called the Simcha? No, you can take kriya for that. But everybody says, they're playing songs, everybody's doing the horror, and everybody looks like they're happy, and they're passing around the hors d'oeuvres, and everybody's happy, and they're taking pictures, and it's gewaldic, everybody's happy. And Yosha b'shamayim lo yischak, but the one who dwells in heaven is not, doesn't have his klezmer playing at that moment. In Shemayim, the Baruch Shalom is sitting and crying. What's going to be? What is this? This is a simcha, a chlal. So when a person's simcha is not, that's what it means. Seis osis b'Hashem, togel nafshi b'lokai. Whenever you and I feel happy about something, to ask that question, this happiness, I'm feeling right now happy about something. Is Hashem happy about this? If he is, then I should be happy too. And as long as that's unnatural, you see, it is unnatural for us because we're very insecure for obvious reasons. Because of a life that's led so many years, not necessarily in accordance with the will of Hashem, well, officially, but unofficially, off the books, not so much. And therefore, we have reason to lack in confidence. But if a person asks himself, this simcha, is this a simcha Hashem? But the world says it's a simcha. So everybody keeps celebrating and saying, this is so nice, this is so wonderful, this makes everybody so happy. And so you have these situations where everybody else says this is a simcha, and one person says this is not a simcha. Why isn't it a simcha? Because it's not the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem doesn't want this simcha to take place. Or if somebody's sad about if you feel that you're getting sad about something, Something that's happening in your life is making you sad, and you ask yourself, is this something that causes Hashem's Baruch to be sad? If the answer is no, then cheer up. Then don't be sad, because it's only Seis Osis B'Hashem, Togel Nafshi B'Lokai. Our whole tachlis in life is aligning ourselves with the Baruch Shalom. Therefore, if you're happy in Tisha B'Av and you sit on Simchas Torah, something's wrong. Forget about making believe or sitting down and saying some kinas and krechsing and so on. Talk about that, it's inside of you. In that place that nobody sees, only yourself, in the Baruch Shalom. Am I sad? Am I happy? That's what the Rebbe is saying here. It has nothing to do with logic. or human reason. It has to do with the Ratzon Hashem. And if you're happy when you're supposed to be sad, if you're happy when Hashem is sad, or if you're sad when Hashem is happy, that means it's a sheker. It means that your emotion is false. And it's not what they say in America. What do you mean your emotion is false? Hey, that's what you feel. You know, hey. Can't argue with that. That's what you feel. I respect what you feel and so on. So if somebody tells you, someone says that, my kid is marrying a guy, and there's nothing I can do about it, so I'm just going to be happy, and what's so bad, and so on and so forth. And just that's the way it is. And this happens in the world, that's going to make me happy. And you're saying, how can that make you happy? That argument is, if you think about it, I'm not talking about what strategy to use with that person, but the argument is, well, as long as my daughter's happy, and I'm happy. Think of what that means. As long as my daughter's happy, then I'm happy. It means that what determines your happiness is your child's happiness, not the truth. And since your child is happy marrying a guy, then that can become a source of happiness for you as well. The Rabbi Shalom at that moment, is tearing kriya, is crying, that there's a pagam in Knesset Yisrael, an unbelievable pagam in Knesset Yisrael. To you, if someone would say that to that parent, the parent would say, that's illogical. That doesn't make sense to me. My kid's happy, I'm happy. You see, but God's unhappy. What are you talking about? But that's the tachlis of our lives. Sois osis b'Hashem sogel nafshi be'elokai. So whenever a person's feeling sad, you just stop and think and ask yourself, is this something that makes the Ribbono Shel Olam sad? And if the answer is no, so then what are you sad about? Then your sadness is irrational. And the same thing when it comes to simcha. And a person can go to a simcha, let's say, where it's a beautiful couple. Not like I said before, it's a wonderful, very nice shidduch. Everything's nice, it's nice shidduch. But the way that the simcha is being conducted is not the Ratzon Hashem. So you could separate. You could be happy about the chuppah, about the chasen and kala, standing under the chuppah, and thank Hashem's baruch for that. But you could feel sad about the way that the simcha is being celebrated, which is not in accordance to the Ratzon Hashem. It's not a contradiction. That's fine. Again, I say sad, doesn't mean you get depressed over not talking about getting depressed. But you could look at it and say that this is not the Ratzon Hashem. That's okay. Not that you share that with other people. You won't get invited to many more simchas if you're that type. But you should know the truth. You have to know the truth that it's not the Ratzon Hashem. This is not the way that Hashem Yisbarach wanted Jews to have a simcha. This is not what it is to have a simcha. And this type of a simcha causes sadness in Shemayim. The chasen kala, gewaldig. It's not their fault. And even if it was their fault, that doesn't have to do with it necessarily. It's not a reflection upon their match. It's a good chasen kala. But the simcha is something which is not a simcha. That's not the way that Hashem Yisbarach wanted the simcha to be expressed. With doing Jewish hip hop and cha cha's or whatever they do. That's not the simcha. The alley cat. All the yeshiva bachim doing the alley cat. Whatever that is. I'm not talking about again anything like tragic or whatever. But. You try and hope that maybe Hashem is like, maybe he sees such a thing and he smiles because it's so pathetic. but not that like it makes him happy, like a yeshiva bachram practicing these kind of geisha dances, These are not bad things, but just the person has to have this. That's what the Rebbe is saying. What makes you happy could be total sheker. What makes you happy could be complete sheker. And the fact is that it makes you happy. No. Mecha teisa. So it makes you happy, therefore it's emes. So you say, well, it makes sense to me. We already saw that means nothing at all. That statement that makes sense to me means nothing at all. There's only one thing, and that's what Rebbe said, and that's Hashem Yisbarach. And the yochid umiyuchad yichidu shel olam is chaykek in a Jew. That emes of nasan l'teres emes of chaya olam nata b'seichein. That's the emes, and to the degree that the emes causes a Jew to be happy, then he's living a life of sois osis b'Hashem, And if something that's against Hashem's will causes him to be happy, so there's no logic in the world that can fix that or make that work. And there's nothing that will help him to shake his fist at Hashem's Baruch and say, it doesn't make sense. What you're telling me doesn't make sense. That's not going to change the mitzvahs of Hashem's Torah. You could scream and yell and shake your fist all you like. It's not going to change the reality that this either is something which causes Hashem joy or causes kivyochel Hashem sadness. There's nothing in the world you could do to change that mitzvahs. Nothing. If it's against Shulchan Aruch, then it causes pain in Shemai. And if it's in accordance with Shulchan Aruch, then it causes joy. And when a person is dovuk b'Hashem, then that's how he experiences life as well. Anything that he does that is according to Shulchan Aruch brings him simcha and nachas and joy. Anything that he does that's against Shulchan Aruch, not that he says it makes him upset, but be'emes, it causes him pain and causes him sadness. That's how it is in Shemayim, and that's how it should be on earth. Because that's the chayk, that the Baruch Hu is chaykek in a Jew. And as long as it's not like that, the fact that you feel something about you feel a certain way about something, has absolutely no bearing on the seers, because that feeling that you have could be complete and total sheker. It's most likely a sheker. It's most likely false. Parak Tes. I was just thinking that you know, that's a question that my daughter asked me some time ago, that there was a, she was, my wife and I had to go to a Lavaya, Lower Lane, and she said, sad, and my daughter asked, but if Hashem wants that person to leave the world, then why are you sad? So, that's what she asked me. That's a good question. Hashem wants that person should come back to him. So then why are you sad? So then you try to explain, she said, isn't that good? Because everything Hashem does is good. So Hashem took that person, that means it's good. And that's what should be. So then why are you sad? So then you try to explain to the child that, of course, it's good and it's wonderful, but from our perspective, we miss that person, right? So because we miss that person, that's why we're feeling sad. And then Hashem wants us to feel sad. When someone leaves our life, Hashem wants us to feel that way. It's a very, very hard thing for a child to understand, and it's certainly impossible for us to understand. We just say those things. We don't get it, right? So the kid will, the kid will say, "All right," like most of the things we say, they don't get it. But really, all the stories that we hear about, about the tzaddik whose child, Lo Aleinu, died on Shabbos, and the whole Shabbos was mamish, and the tzaddik found out about it Shabbos, and the whole, like the chedushim and the meisach, and the whole Shabbos was mamish, unbelievable, all simcha, everything simcha. Chedushim lost 13 children, and the whole Shabbos is mamish, unbelievable simcha, and then by Havdalah, after Havdalah, then the crying begins. So a person said, that's illogical. Either you're sad over your kid's death, or you're not sad over your kid's death. So how do you explain that? That tzaddik lives in the world of Shabbos, and that world of Shabbos is says us as Hashem, doesn't contradict the love. It doesn't in any way contradict the love that he has for his child, and it doesn't reflect poorly on the feelings that he has for his child, chas v'shalom. But Shabbos, Hashem is Baruch's ratzon, is that you rejoice. And after Abdullah, and Hashem's rotzen is that you mourn. And the tzaddik feels joy in Hashem's rejoicing. And he feels avelus in the rotzen of Hashem, who has determined to be misabel, to mourn. Because truthfully, the only reason, the answer to my daughter's question is, why should you be sad if Hashem wants that? Is because Hashem wants me to be sad. Or whatever avelus means, and according to halachas avelus, I can't be sad in any other way. I can't express my sadness in ways that are against Shulchan Aruch. I'm not allowed to do that. I can't make an eighth day of Shiva, right? I can't got you to do things that the Torah, even things that the Torah told us, to torture myself or to hurt myself, to express my sadness. Then that's not the Ratzon Hashem. But you could say, but I feel like doing this. You're not allowed to do that. And you shouldn't feel like doing that. The only thing you should feel is what Hashem Yisbarach wants you to feel. And it doesn't make you less of a father. And it doesn't mean that the Chiddush had less emotional attachment to his child. That he didn't spend Shabbos crying. But he began to cry after Havdalah. Because he lived in that place of Emes. And Emes is the Shabbos, the world of Shabbos, is a world which is Kulei Tov. In the world of Shabbos, the Ratzon Hashem is that there's no Avelus on Shabbos. Or there's no Avelus b'Chayesi. We don't know what the Tzaddik, how he was living, what was happening by himself. We don't know. But there's Shabbos is Sois Osis B'Hashem. And then Motzei Shabbos, then there's a new Ratzon Hashem that's being expressed in the life of that tzaddik, and in the life of that tzaddik, the new Ratzon Hashem is now at this moment there's a chalois. Now the dinim of avelus take effect because after Avdol, so you take your shoes off and you sit on the ground and you cry. And that's why the fact that I mentioned a few weeks ago that you have some of the old machzorim, what it will say in the instructions, kan ata boicha, right here you shall cry. So that's illogical to a person. How do you write instructions in a machzor? You know, here you should cry. Here you should be happy. But the truth is that if you look in the Yisayv Sharish Avayda, and the Yisayv Sharish Avayda, each part of the davening, and each part of the Seder of Avodas Hashem in the Yontif and so on, and he says, and here a person rejoices and so on, by thinking this and by focusing on that, that's what it means. When it says in the Machzor, here you should cry, so it's just, of course, it's a little brief note. It's not telling you why you should cry. But the tachlis of a Jew's life is to be able to lift himself up to a place of Dveikus, so that all of those instructions... In other words, when the Shulchan Aruch says, here you shall cry, you feel like crying. And when the Shulchan Aruch says, here you shall rejoice, you feel like being happy. In the meantime, for us, it's a struggle. Because there are millions of times when it says, in the Shulchan Aruch, here you should be happy, then I won't feel happy. And there are times the Shulchan Aruch says, here you're supposed to be sad, and I won't feel sad. And until that time, when we're able to be aligned with the Ratzon Hashem, we can't trust our emotions as being true. We don't know that they're true. We just know that we feel a certain way, but that has nothing to do necessarily with the emes hashek. And whereas in the secular world, you're not allowed to say you shouldn't be feeling that. That's sacrilegious. What do you mean I shouldn't be feeling that? That's how I feel. You shouldn't be feeling that. That's how I feel. It's a ridiculous argument. But you shouldn't feel that way. I feel that way. And you're insulted if someone tells you. You're insulted. You need to tell me how I should feel. Feelings are very holy and very sacred. Feelings are untouchable. Feelings have some sort of diplomatic immunity. You're not allowed to ask any questions about a person's feelings. Well, why do you feel that way? How dare you ask me why I feel that way? That's just how I feel. As if that's enough. And this is the sheker of how we were brought up in an Alma de Sheker. And therefore, over time, as time passes, we live torn between two realities: the reality of the Ratzon Hashem, and the reality of how I feel. And until those two become perfectly aligned, we're not yet in that category of being emes avdei Hashem. We're trying, but we're not real avdei Hashem, because a true eved has no ratzon, only with the ratzon of the Baruch Shalom. And there's nothing outside of that. And therefore, my daughter's question is really a very good question. Why should you feel sad? But the answer is also a good answer. because Hashem wants me to feel sad. But that's the answer. There's no other answer. Even though maybe not being entirely honest, because you know that even if Hashem didn't say anything like that, Shulchan, he still feels sad because he missed the person, right? But the question of why should we, or why are we entitled, or why are we allowed to feel sad when someone dies? Because the Baruch Shalom told us he always wants us to be happy. So why are we all of a sudden allowed to be sad? The Teretz is because Hashem now tells you to be sad. Not God forbid depressed, chas v'chalila, but to act. That you should engage in nihugim of sadness. And that it's okay now to feel sad. Because logically, you shouldn't feel sad. Because my daughter's right. The Baruch Shalom knows what he's doing, so what are you getting upset about? What's there to be sad about? It's good. There's nothing to be sad about. Logically. But we see logically. It's the Ratzon Hashem. So the Ratzon Hashem now switches to Avelus. And in that mode of Avelus, if I were to stand at the Chasna and you know, with my iPod listening to a Nagina orchestra or something, so it would be very bizarre. And it would be not only inappropriate, it would be against Allah. Same way, you understand that all of these hamsa'ot of how to try to listen to music during Sfiras Ayim and how to try to listen to music during the 3 weeks, which I'm sure there's going to be a new Tisha B'Av album that's coming out any day now to get ready for the summer, because they already have music that they thought of that our parents and grandparents weren't smart enough to think about. How do you make music for the 9 day, for the how do you make music for Sfiras Ayim? How do you make music for the 3 weeks? How do you make music like that without violating Hashem's will? So now I could be happy. I could be happy during the 3 weeks by listening to music. What's it called again, that music?
Acapella.
Acapella. So they're not because there's nobody playing any instruments, but they're imitating instruments in a very talented way, and they're making those sounds. So now, there you go. I'm now able to be happy when Hashem is sad. I'm able to be happy listening to the impersonation of a clarinet, because I'm not allowed to listen to the clarinet. And if a person thinks about this, you realize that this is the most ridiculous, absurd, audacious, I don't even know what words to use for it, violation of everything it means to be a Jew. But that's what we're living in. Our parents weren't smart enough to think of a cappella.
If you walked into a house in the morning and they were blasting that, everybody would think it was strange.
You're 100% right, Yosef. Why don't they play, why don't they have a cappella music by Shiva? What? Have a cappella? Even the biggest chassid of that whole mahalach would say, what are you, out of your mind? How can you do this? That's my father passed away, my father. No, I love my father. How can you play that? So that the Churban of Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash and the Shechita B'Gelus says, no, that's not. Your father passed away, so now we can't have any acapella. So how come during the 3 weeks you could have acapella? How come Sfiras Ayim, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 tzaddikim, the whole world, it says in the Gemara, was shomim, was desolate. But then you go, that you could have during the, for 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that's all right. But if you're at the pet cemetery because your turtle died, and someone puts on the acapella and you say, my turtle died. Acapella? Do you think it's what do they use the? No, in the spirit. Yeah, they use that term. Is that in the spirit of what we're going through right now? Of my turtle's death? Is that in the spirit of my turtle's death? Acapella? Absolutely not. But during the 3 weeks, they're bopping away without instruments. With those cute little Yeshiva Bacham on the cover of all the albums. And they're very sweet guys. I'm not saying God forbid anything about them. They're misdirected and misinformed themselves. And they're part of that. They're part of that shallow interpretation of Yiddishkeit. That's not their fault, Chas v'Shalom. They're good kids. There's nothing about them, God forbid. But what's with us, the consumer? And I'm sure there's going to be new things going on like that. But that's the question. Sois osus b'Hashem togel nafshi b'lokai. Is the Baruch Shalom happy with this a cappella during the few weeks? Forget about it. It's not according to the Shach, not according to the Magen Avraham, not according to the Taz, not according to the Gra. You could make any case that you want, and you could say, where does it say? How could you prove it to me that the Chavetz Chaim wouldn't sit in the room? That's enough for us. Why? Because the Chavetz Chaim soul was attuned to the Baruch Shalom's music. And the Chavetz Chaim's soul knew when it was a sad song and when it's a happy song. And the Chavetz Chaim knew in his soul during the 3 weeks what that means. And during a simcha what that means. And until we're in that place, we can't trust any of these things. Even if it comes out, even if that the newest a cappella is going to come out, I'm sure that before Sfira Soma there'll be something new will come out, and it has on it a stamp from the badats of who knows where, and it's got Hebrew words all over it, and it's got a picture, you know, it has a picture of Adam Godel. My kid showed me, I'm sorry, we have to go there. My kid showed me one of these catalogs that they sent for some, they're trying to raise money for some tzedakah, you know, a Chinese auction, they you get these things. So my daughter opened up to a page, and there was pictures there of Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Michael Lefkovich and Gedolei Yisrael. There's a picture. So I said, like, don't tell me, like, if you win, you get to have them? What does that mean? Like, I'm wondering, like, if you win, you have a certain ticket, you get to take home Rav Chaim Kanievsky. To the best of my knowledge, you never left Eretz Yisrael. I was wondering, how are you going to do that? Like, how do you do that? So now, of course, what it meant in the catalog was that if you get that ticket, that I think that you're going to get portraits or something like that. Oh, no. What it meant is that you're going to go on a tour to Eretz Yisrael, and part of the tour package is, that's what I have, part of the tour package that you're going to go to be taken to meet Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Michael Lefkovich and the other tzaddikim as part of your tour package. So they had pictures in the, and that's what it was, that pictures in the catalog of the Gedolei Yisrael. And if you win, it was part of the advertisement, these big pictures, like it looks like you're taking them home. No. But if you win, then part of the package going to Eretz Yisrael, you get to have, to go to the tzaddikim. That's part of the, the tour will take you to the tzaddikim. This is how, even in what's the Torah world, was crept in, such a goyishkeit into the Torah world. And I'm wondering, what would Chaim Kanievsky feel if he saw that? And as I explained to him what this is, what's become of the world that he lives for, the shallowness. I guess that's what we have to do to try to make some money for tzedakah. Hashem yirachem. No, we should be zeicher lishma v'la'aseh.
The right way.